Father, we ask that not one of us will go away this morning without knowing, without a shadow of a doubt, that you are a God who forgives. And may also we go away with a greater desire and a greater ability to forgive others. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you're looking for a sermon outline, my apologies. The week got away and there is not one this morning, so apologies for that. But if you can grab a piece of paper, you might care to take some notes. That might be helpful. In the Apostle Creed, we say, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. But do we? We certainly are in favour of the forgiveness of our sins, but do we believe in the forgiving of those who have sinned against us? I have no doubt that many of us sitting here this morning have been hurt in many and varied ways. You have been let down. You have been wronged. You may have even been betrayed. The darts that came your way may have come thick and fast. The things said against you may have been totally wrong. They were certainly hurtful. You may have been carrying the scars of other people's sins against you for years. In this situation, can you affirm, I believe in the forgiveness of sins? Yes, even me forgiving others. For chances are that there are those here who have been carrying grudges, who have not been able to say, I forgive. We come this morning to what is probably the hardest of all the petitions in the Lord's Prayer. It is the only prayer with a condition. Forgive us our sins, we ask, as we forgive those who sin against us. We may be enthusiastic about the first part, but very lukewarm about the second. But when we turn to Scripture, we come face to face with these confronting words in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Confronting words, are they not? And as we reflect on this weighty matter of forgiveness, I have 7 points this morning. Normally have three, so you're getting a bonus, aren't you? The first one's a lot longer than the others. First point, we can only truly forgive others when we understand how much we have been forgiven. We can only truly forgive others when we understand how much we have been forgiven. And friends, we need to meditate long and hard on the nature of our forgiveness. So remember the parable of the unmerciful servant that was just read out for us. The parable was prompted by this question of Peter's in Matthew 18:21. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Thinking that that was a huge amount and that he was being particularly spiritual in being willing to forgive up to 7 times. But Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Or is it other versions? 70 times 7. Now, what that means is limitless. So you don't get out the notebook and start to put a tick each time you forgive your spouse or your cranky boss and start to get excited when you get in the 60s and think, boy, I'm nearly there, then I don't have to forgive anymore. No, limitless. That is what Jesus is saying. But in the words of a famous scientist, why is this so? Well, Jesus goes on then to tell the parable of the king who was owed 10,000 talents. Now, that was a lot of moolah. Millions of dollars. An amount that would be impossible to pay back. No way, not a chance. That's exactly the point being made, that it was impossible to pay back that amount. And so when the servant was brought to him, the king ordered that his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to start to repay the debt. The servant pleaded for mercy. Be patient, I will pay back everything. Which of course he couldn't. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt and let him go. Now that is a picture of God with us. Because of Jesus, God can take mercy on us, cancel the debt, and let us go. But it has nothing to do with us or anything that we have done. See, remember the predicament we were in, dear friends. There is no way on our own that we can escape the judgment of God. In some versions, the Lord's Prayer reads, "Forgive us our debts." And many of you who are older would have prayed those versions in days gone by. We owed God everything because we had rebelled against him, but we were bankrupt in ourselves and couldn't pay back a penny. Or 5 cents for the youngsters amongst us. Our debts just kept piling up. Debts of every description. Debts of omission, things we didn't do. Debts of commission, things that we did do. Debts of ignorance. Debts of deliberate wickedness. You name it. Debts without limit and without number. And not even a 5 cent piece in our pocket to start paying them back. Lincoln Hall might be a name known to a number of you. He is a mountaineer, an Australian mountaineer, who first came to fame with the first Australian team to climb Everest. Lincoln Hall sent off for Everest again in early May 2006. 5 weeks after reaching base camp in Tibet, he began his push for the summit. After 3 days of climbing higher into the oxygenless air, he was blessed with a perfect summit day. For a few minutes, Hall was the highest man on the planet. His Sherpa companions arrived, photos were taken, and the climbers commenced their long descent. Then things began to go horribly wrong. Hall was struck by cerebral edema, high altitude sickness, in the aptly named death zone. Drowsiness quickly became overpowering lethargy, and he collapsed in the snow. 2 Sherpas spent hours trying to revive him, but as darkness fell, he was pronounced dead. The expedition's leader ordered the Sherpas to descend to save themselves. The news of Hall's death travelled rapidly from mountaineering websites to news media around the world, and by satellite phone to Hall's family in Australia. Early the next day, Dan Mazza, an American mountaineering guide with 2 clients and a Sherpa, was startled to find Hall sitting cross-legged on the knife-edged crest of the summit ridge with a huge drop directly below him. Hall's first words will go down in the annals, where he said, "I imagine you are surprised to see me here." A massive understatement. Hall called his book of the ordeal Dead Lucky. And if you're looking for a present for your nice rector, you might care to consider that. Shameless, yeah. And I've probably just blown my point. But this is it. Friends, when we are forgiven by God, there is nothing lucky about it. We were all sitting atop of Everest, spiritually speaking, waiting to die. We could not save ourselves. He was waiting to die. He thought he was going to die. Everyone thought he was dead. And that was us. We were goners. But our rescue was not because of some chance meeting. God determined to wipe out our debt because Jesus stood in our place and took our punishment. Well, I guess in one sense we were lucky. It wasn't luck. We were incredibly fortunate because of the grace of God, his endless grace. And when we're in heaven, we may well say to some from our past, "I suppose you're surprised to see me here." But based on God's infinite grace, they should not be, because they're there as well, after all. That he dares to save the likes of you and the likes of me. Remember God's infinite grace, and it is easier to forgive others. So remember the rest of the parable. We'll pick up the action in verse 28. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a pittance, change in your pocket that you leaving the car for the tolls that you don't need to pay anymore. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. He had been forgiven so much, and yet he wasn't prepared to forgive even a little. It's preposterous. It's no wonder the king was furious and had him thrown into prison and beaten. Friends, remember how much we owed and were forgiven, and it will put our forgiveness of others in a completely different light. If we have been forgiven zillions, how can we forgive? Sorry, if we have been forgiven zillions, how can we refuse to forgive peanuts? Whatever someone has done to offend us always pales in comparison to what we have done to offend God. So that's the first point. We can only truly forgive others when we understand how much we have been forgiven. Second, remembering how much Jesus forgave will help us to forgive others. Remembering how much Jesus forgave will help us to forgive others. Luke 23 is the account of Jesus' crucifixion. And we read from verse 32, "Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots." Could we imagine someone being wronged more than Jesus was? The innocent man crucified. They asked for the release of Barabbas the criminal and called for the execution of the innocent one. And yet as he hung there, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Remember that it was our sin that sent him to the cross. And remember that he was prepared to forgive the enormous wrong committed against him by those then and by us now. Dwell on those things, brothers and sisters, and it will be easier to forgive others. Thirdly, people who have genuinely received God's grace will be marked by a willingness to forgive others. People who have genuinely received God's grace will be marked by a willingness to forgive others. See, today's petition in the Lord's Prayer teaches us that there is no forgiveness for the one who is not willing to forgive others. Now, this is not tit for tat. It's not that our forgiveness is determined by our forgiveness of others. That would make us earn our salvation, which, of course, we don't do. And in the parable, notice that the servant was already forgiven. It's not that our forgiveness earns us the Father's forgiveness, but if we have an unforgiving spirit, then it is a likely indication that we have not repented ourselves. We have a few Methodist fans in our congregation. They tell me each week, just about, and good on them. Well, John Wesley, the famous Methodist of the 1700s, as a young man, was a missionary to Georgia, where he had a difficult time with the colony's founder, the proud and pitiless General Oglethorpe. During the course of one conversation, the general made this startling comment, "I never forgive." "Then I hope, sir," remarked Wesley, "you never sin." You see, Wesley was thinking of today's petition in the Lord's Prayer. Those who want to receive forgiveness must be willing to offer forgiveness to others. And if you find it hard to forgive, then ask for God's help to enable you to forgive. Fourthly, people who have genuinely received God's grace will be marked by a willingness to continue to confess their sins. People who have genuinely received God's grace will be marked by a willingness to continue to confess their sins. See, the Bible warns us about sin left unconfessed. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. God is still Israel's God, Isaiah says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. There are consequences when believers sin. God at times turns his head and hides his face. He withdraws the blessed sense of his presence and refuses to hear his people's prayers. He leaves them there until they turn away from their idols and their lusts. King David speaks of his own unconfessed sin in Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Ongoing confession of our sins is not only good and proper, but it is for our benefit. A weight is lifted from us. A load of guilt is removed. But unconfessed sin drags us down like an albatross around our necks. When Moses, Daniel, Isaiah, and Nehemiah begin their prayers for God's disobedient people, they commenced with acknowledging their own spiritual bankruptcy and sinfulness. Oh, that we would start our prayer times like this more often. Fifthly, as we confess our sins, remember that God is able to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we confess our sins, remember that God is able to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember the words from the prayer book. Well, from the Bible first. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Or Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. You see, this is not reluctant forgiveness that we hounder and hounder him, and in the end he gives in, like some parents at the end of their tether might do. All right, you can have it. It's not like that. This is an outpouring of it in accord with the riches of God's grace. Forgiveness that is lavished upon us. He will forgive. We need only ask. And as we confess our sins, let us remember the need to forgive ourselves as well. If God is willing to forgive a wretch like me, then surely I must as well. And if you doubt God's forgiveness, then go and sit at the foot of the cross and remember that the price was paid once for all, totally. When debts were paid off in the ancient world, often a nail would be driven through the account to indicate that it was paid in full. The precursor to the stamp thing. Nails were driven through an old wooden cross to say, our debts have been paid in full. You see, your forgiveness doesn't depend on you and what you intend to do, but it rests on what Jesus did. So friends, if your trust is in the Lord Jesus, you can forgive yourself. For the Lord Jesus has forgiven you and has put your sins as far away as the east is from the west. Sixth, praying for our enemies will help us to dissolve bitterness and our desire for justice. praying for our enemies will help us to dissolve bitterness and our desire for justice. Matthew 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, when we have been hurt, it is hard to forgive. But a good starting point is to pray for your enemies and love them and pray for those who persecute you. And in the light of that, by God's help, our bitterness, which in the end doesn't help us or them, will start to dissolve. And we can hand over the justice to the Lord himself. And seventh and lastly, remember these words. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. See, our vision must be beyond the immediate. You may well be in the right. Your name may have been maligned. You may have been hurt beyond belief. But we must lift our gaze beyond this world to the future where all wrongs will be righted. We must make decisions, including those to forgive, from an eternal perspective. All wrongs will be righted. If not in this world, then in the one to come. Now, friends, as we conclude, if you're anything like me, then you may well be still holding grudges against people. There may well still be people that you are harbouring bitterness towards. There are still people that we need to forgive. There may be people that you need to go to and to ask for their forgiveness or to write to them. And if so, ask for God's help to do it, and perhaps tell a Christian friend, this is what I'm going to do. Pray for me. There may be those who sinned against you and haven't asked for your forgiveness. Well, pray that God will help you to forgive them and pray for them that they will change. Be an agent of reconciliation, not an agent of hostility. Be a worker for peace, not war. Love not as the world loves, but as the Lord Jesus loved. Now, I don't pretend that there aren't questions still unanswered, but may these points this morning help us as we continue to wrestle with a very difficult topic of forgiveness. So by God's ongoing grace, may we be able to pray with all sincerity, Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Amen.